The epistle appointed to be read for this, the 13th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brethren, the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. He does not say, and to his offsprings, as of many, but as of one, and to thy offspring, who is Christ. Now I mean this, the law, which was made 430 years later, does not annul the covenant which was ratified by God, so as to make the promise void. For if the right to inherit be from the law, it is no longer from a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. What then was the law? It was enacted on account of transgressions being delivered by angels through a mediator until the offspring should come to whom the promise was made. Now there is no intermediary where there is only one, but God is one. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? By no means. For if a law had been given that could give life, justice would truly be from the law. But the scripture shut up all things under sin, that by the faith of Jesus Christ, the promise might be given to those who believe. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Luke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, as Jesus was going to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was entering a certain village, there met him 10 lepers, who stood afar off and lifted up their voice, crying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And it came to pass that as they were on their way, they were made clean. But one of them, seeing that he was made clean, returned with a loud voice, glorifying God. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. But Jesus answered and said, "Were not the 10 made clean? But where are the 9? Has no one been found to return and give thanks and glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go thy way, for thy faith has saved thee." Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved, the first thing that I wish to bring to your attention this morning is that we have two very lovely young ladies, Nicole and Stephanie Denson, who will make their first Holy Communion this morning. So, if you would be so kind as to let these two ladies come up and make their first communion before you begin to come up to receive your communion. And may this be a day of greatness in the lives of these two people, that they will receive Christ for the first time in their hearts, and that this will be for them a blessing, which indeed and hopefully they will carry with them, pure and unstained throughout the days of their lives. Beginning today, we will have Vespers with benediction of the Most Blessed Sacrament every Sunday at 5 o'clock. Except the first Sunday of each month. We will have Vespers every Sunday at 5 o'clock in this church with benediction of the Blessed Sacrament, but not on the first Sunday of any month, because we are fathers are gone on the missions and we can't have it on those days. But right away, the normal time for Vespers and benediction will be 5 o'clock. Tomorrow, the very first day after we have the first exception, Vespers will be at 4 o'clock. Every rule that is made has to have exceptions to it. So therefore, the reason for that being that it being a holy day during the week, with Mass following in the evening and all, the schedule is completely changed around, and we cannot fit everything in, so we have to put the ceremony earlier. So tomorrow, we will have solemn vespers for the first time. When our Lord sends help, we don't waste time going to work with the extra help. And so God is blessing us with some extra help now. May we have it from here on out. So we will say thanks to Almighty God for the young men who are now stepping up to begin their work to help. And may Almighty God bless their families as well. So tomorrow we have Vespers, solemn Vespers and benediction in this church at 4 o'clock. It will be very beautiful. I think you'll be surprised, those of you who can come, at what Vespers will be like. Too bad we can't do it for solemn Masses on Sunday. But as long as we do not have an organist, we just can't do it. There's no other way. God wants Vespers, so he sends help. If he wants High Mass, then Almighty God is going to have to send help. And when he does, we will have High Masses immediately on Sundays. I think that's everything that I need to bring to your attention from the bulletin. So today we begin Vespers at 5 o'clock on Sunday with benediction of the Blessed Sacrament every Sunday except the first Sunday of the month. Tomorrow, Vespers are at 4 o'clock. In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, before I really start a little meditation this morning, I would like to bring to your attention something. You recall, I think it was 3 or 4 or 5 weeks ago, something like that, that we here discussed, and it was in the bulletin, we discussed the ceremony that we recommend very highly to begin to be had in the home. And that the ceremony is that every evening, the last thing before everybody goes to bed, the father of the house gathers his entire family and they all kneel at his feet. And the father of the house gives the blessing to the members of the family. The reason why I bring this to your attention is that I know that this is a ceremony that is unusual and might be a little bit tedious and maybe a speck awkward, but I'm happy to report to you that I have been told by some families where this has been put into practice, and I am told by each one how absolutely wonderful it is and how much good is gotten from it, obtained from it, not only by the father himself, but by the members of the families as well. They look forward to it. The family, all brought together at the feet of the father in the family, the father who takes the place of Christ in that family. That's pretty powerful, you have to admit. That's pretty powerful. At first, you will feel awkward. That's normal, because you're not accustomed to it. You haven't done it before. But after you do it a time or two, you will know what's going on. And not only that, do we want to discount the grace of Almighty God working in each of the members of that family where this is taking place? My beloved people, I bless you, everyone, and I recommend this very strongly to all the fathers of our family here, that they do it. Bring your family together. Bring your family together and bless your family. Put your blessing, put Christ's blessing through your hands, through your unworthy hands, just as we, in our unworthy hands, place our blessing upon you. That's where our religion is. That's where our religion leads us, to blessing. Tomorrow is the feast of the Blessed Mother, the Assumption of the Blessed Mother. In today's bulletin, we have a little instruction concerning humility. And we just try to discuss humility. We're not trying to describe it. We're not trying to define it, because we can't, as is pointed out to you. But we talk about humility. And we try to point out the way that humility operates in a soul. And that humility, together with love, you can't separate the two. And that humility and love that we speak so much about here, that these two virtues, inseparable, can only be seen by the eyes of Almighty God. Or we can see humble activities, yes, we can see that. This man, this woman is very humble. They do this, they do that, they do the other thing. They perform all kinds of nice, beautiful things. Beautiful people, beautiful people, beautiful people. And indeed, they are beautiful people. But that which is behind everything they do can only be seen by the eyes of God. Why do I bring that up at this point? Once upon a time, there was a girl. She was hardly 12 or 13 years old. She was an ordinary girl. She did not stand out for anything in particular. Oh, people noticed that she was a good girl, which indeed she was. She was a good girl. But Almighty God looked at something and saw something in this child, which we would call a child today, saw something that nobody else could see, and he touched her. And he sent his angel down, his special agent, Because this very ordinary child was asked to be someone indescribably important. And this angel appeared to her and spoke to her and gave her a message that is unbelievably unbelievable. She at first, she couldn't understand this message. She dared not accept it as in such, because it was so beyond comprehension. And the angel clarified it. And for a brief moment, this unassuming 12-year-old child, this girl, for a brief moment, had everybody in heaven, all the angels in heaven, held their breaths. All of heaven stood still. Everybody in heaven stood still. Until this unassuming, uneducated, 12-year-old child said, "I will do it." And can you imagine? Can our feeble minds imagine the exultation that must have took place in heaven at that precise moment, brought about by the little word of the little girl that said, "I will do it"? And if we recall and look back into the pages of history, what were the very, very first words spoken by anyone recorded? The very first words before anybody's word. "I will not serve." And those words have been the hellfire of us all ever since. So it took Almighty God, did not go to a mighty army. He did not go to an illustrious prophet or to a teacher or to a preacher or to anybody of any magnitude and importance. And in order to put down the beast, he selected a child, a 12-year-old child, and asked her to put her heel upon the beast's head. And ever since then, that's what she has been doing. This child became the queen, no less a mother, but the queen of heaven and earth. And it was all done because of her immaculate humility, her immaculate beauty. This was a thing that stood out in the eyes of God, the humility of this child. And that she too then was to carry honor of all honors, that she would carry her Creator in herself, and was to give flesh to God Almighty in the person of Jesus Christ. Good grief, what story that is. And today, except for a handful of people, and I can't help it, I'm not trying to be dramatic. It can only be said this way: to a handful of people, and this handful of people have themselves been touched by the finger of God with grace. And whereas they may not say, "I will do it," they have the grace to say, "I do believe." And by saying, "I do believe," they are at the same time saying, "I will serve." Whereas all around, the multitude, the vast multitude, is singing the song, "I will not serve." And so when I speak to you, my beloved family, and these things are pointed out to you, it is because, as I see it, your responsibility is awesome. And that you are the children of this woman who merely said, "I will do it." And in doing this, you too will be carrying the gracious God wherever you go. And you will spread, you will bring him into places that he would otherwise not be able to enter. You will bring him into places because you have carried him. Your responsibility is awesome. And you must not shirk that responsibility. It is full of persecution. It is full of misunderstanding. It is full. Well, when this little girl put her foot on his head, put her heel on his head. Let us use our imagination. Do you think that that monster did not lash her with his horrible tail? But the head, his head, was under her foot. And you too, and we too, have to suffer the lash of the beast's tail. Tomorrow, she is brought into heaven, body and soul. She is our mother. She is our mother more than she is our queen. And we must go to her. And we must ask her not to leave us behind, but to rather to come down and protect us. Because the lashings of the beast are indeed also awesome. So, my beloved people, you have your work to do. We have our work to do. In days when it seems nearly impossible for anything good to take place, and you know, don't you think for a second that when the serpent came to realize that his end was approaching, that he did not put up his most violent struggle for survival? Does this not make sense in these our days? And I close, my beloved people, by saying this. I talk to you fathers once again. You are the one who must keep your family together as best you can. And they must come to you not by force, never by force, but by the example of humility. And who is the chief teacher of the example of humility in the family? The mother. And by the example of the mother, kneeling at the feet of her man, at the feet of her husband, at the feet of him who represents Christ to her in that household, the children will follow suit and will also kneel at the feet of their man, their father. This is our religion. This is our religion. And then when this comes to the proper conclusion, then we come together. And then the father of the family dares to take the body itself and hold it up on high for everyone to see. This is our religion, and this is what we must do, my beloved people. Tomorrow, you know the schedule of the masses. Don't just come to Mass. We come here to understand and appreciate what's going on. Out there, we know what's going on. Can you imagine what on, I say this side, I don't mean, you know what I mean, of the activity that is going on in God's kingdom, where reality truly exists. And that in also in reality, out there where everybody is playing house, and they're building their houses out of the flimsy cards on the shifting sands of the desert. You, I don't put you ahead of anybody. I don't put us ahead of anybody. You are not a cut above anybody. Neither are we. But you, for some reason, we, for some reason, unknown perhaps to any of us, have been touched. And that, my beloved people, is that.